I felt like I was walking off a cliff. The cliff could be 1 inch or it could be 1,000 feet. I just didn't know what was going to be on the other side of that.
A lot of the politics at work are about being well-liked by your supervisors, by your colleagues. And so for LGBTQ people, you're having to do this calculus in your mind of, will disclosing, sharing my identity jeopardize future promotions, raises, or job security for me?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. South Korea's queer partners win equal spousal health coverage. Burkina Faso's junta announces plans to criminalize same-gender sex. And working while queer ain't always rainbows. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Ava Davis.
And I'm Joe Bainline.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending July 20th, 2024. South Korea's Supreme Court is ordering the National Health Insurance Service to extend spousal coverage to same-gender partners. The landmark July 18th ruling gives queer couples benefits equal to those of their heterosexual counterparts. So Sung-wook and Kim Yong-min filed suit against the insurance service in 2021 after it canceled their coverage. They won their case in Seoul High Court last year. The nation's highest court upheld that decision with the unequivocal words of Supreme Court Chief Justice Cho Hee-dae. He called the denial of coverage an act of discrimination that violates human dignity and value, the right to pursue happiness, freedom of privacy, and the right to equality before the law, and the degree of violation is serious. Jubilant supporters joined the couple chanting "Love Wins" outside the courthouse. Kim Yong-min is positive about the East Asian nation's future. He told Reuters, "We now need to fight harder to legalize same-sex marriage.
Henceforth, homosexuality and associated practices will be punished by the law." Under Burkina Faso's military junta, Justice Minister Adaso Rodrique Biala announced that their cabinet had agreed on legislation on July 10th, but he neglected to elaborate. Same-gender sex has never before been illegal in the West African nation. The new law is part of the junta's overhaul of marriage laws. Same-gender marriages have never been recognized. Only religiously sanctioned marriages will be recognized once the junta's parliament approves the law and leader Ibrahim Traore signs it. It's not yet clear how far the anti-queer legislation goes. Will it only criminalize private consensual adult same-gender sex, or will there be more draconian prohibitions against public expression of queer identity? The timetable for passage is also unknown. National and global human rights groups have roundly condemned the move.
The rights of LGBTQ people and programs and policies to encourage diversity, equity, and inclusion were frequent targets at this week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 78-year-old unrepentant rapist and convicted felon Donald Trump accepted the presidential nomination of his party for the third time. Of all the bizarre non sequiturs in his meandering 90-plus minute July 18th speech, this one was easy to miss.
"We're going to get to the cure for cancer and Alzheimer's and so many other things. We're so close to doing something great. But we need a leader that will let it be done. We will not have men playing in women's sports. That will end immediately.
Trump's pick for vice president is junior senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. His record of far-right positions like a total ban on abortion and climate change denial all but ensures an extremist administration if Trump wins election in November. The plan is laid out clearly in the document Project 2025, a blueprint of right-wing intentions echoed in the Republican Party platform. Other speakers during the four-day convention highlighted how those plans are consistent with current legislation targeting trans people in Republican-dominated states across the country.
They stand for DEI, which really means division, exclusion, and indoctrination, and it is wrong. They can't even define what a woman is.
They promised normalcy and gave us Transgender Visibility Day on Easter Sunday. And let me state this clearly. There are only two genders, and we are made in God's image. Amen.
This fringe agenda includes biological males competing against girls and the sexualization and indoctrination of our children. Republicans understand that Americans don't want woke equity. They want God-given equality.
At this week's Republican National Convention, that was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Georgia Congressmember Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
U.S. farm and garden equipment maker John Deere announced the end of its corporate support for LGBTQ causes this week. In a July 16th social media post, the 200-year-old company said, "We will no longer participate in or support external social or cultural awareness parades, festivals, or events." Tractor Supply Company had also bowed to the anti-woke forces of right-wing activist Robbie Starbuck. He took credit for mounting an online campaign that forced Tractor Supply to abandon its queer customers in early July. Starbuck now brags that he is responsible for this week's John Deere surrender. To be sure its capitulation was clear, John Deere's statement added, "The existence of diversity quotas and pronoun identification have never been and are not company policy."
Southern California's Chino Valley Unified School District is suing Governor Gavin Newsom for signing a bill to protect trans students from being involuntarily outed. District policy requires school officials to inform students' families of any transition-related requests. State Attorney General Rob Bonta is already challenging it. The new law is the first of its kind in the U.S. It bans districts from requiring that parents be notified if their child asks to go by a new name or pronouns, or to use sex-segregated facilities not associated with their birth certificate gender. Emily Ray is one of the lawyers representing Chino Valley. She insists, "School officials do not have the right to keep secrets from parents, but parents do have a constitutional right to know what their minor children are doing at school." A Newsom spokesperson dismissed the lawsuit as unserious. Far-right entrepreneur Elon Musk claims to have warned the governor in advance that he would move his companies out of the Golden State if Newsom signed the bill. Musk has a trans daughter who has severed ties with him. Now Musk is severing ties with Newsom. His social media platform X and SpaceX will become ex-Californians and relocate to Texas. Good riddance.
Finally, Elon Musk was not done making headlines with his divorce from California Governor Gavin Newsom and endorsement of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. The national media missed another story involving the billionaire X-Man, his purge of queer voices from his social media platform. This Way Out's David Hunt has more.
They're calling it the great LGBTQ plus takedown of 2024. On July 4th, the social media platform X, formerly Twitter, deleted hundreds of queer-themed profiles. Included in the purge were more than 200 profiles associated with the hashtag #ILoveGay. Matt Scalarud, president of Pink Media, began using the hashtag on Twitter 10 years ago to promote queer people, organizations, companies, events, you name it. In the Twitterverse, you could follow "I Love Gay Travel," "I Love Gay Sports," "I Love Gay New York City," and "I Love Gay Music," to name a few. Each had its own profile with content generated by Pink Media to engage niche audiences. It worked really well, better than anything the marketing company was doing on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok.
And the whole thing just really grew and blossomed and, Next thing you know, we've got over 1 million followers. It really just sort of blew all the others out of the water when it came to performance. So that one just ended up growing organically at a far greater rate than anything else we were doing.
Thanks to the success of the I Love Gay Network on X, Pink Media grew from a conventional marketing firm into what Scalarude calls a hybrid media company, leveraging its presence on social media to add punch to its advertising and marketing campaigns. Its promotion of a music video by Christine W., an outspoken supporter of the LGBTQ community, went viral in June, garnering more than 17 million views. It's unclear what's behind the purge of queer voices on X or how far it will go. The company has also suspended the accounts of several enterprises that use the I Love Gay hashtag, including the Gay Desert Guide in Palm Springs, California, and Visit Gay Britain. A message to X seeking its side of the story got no reply, not even a like. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending July 20th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Greg Gordon, Lucia Chappell, and David Hunt. Produced by Brian DeShazer, with technical assistance by Daniel Huesius. And brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Ava Davis. Stay healthy.
And I'm Joe Bainline. Stay safe.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin, author of Tales of the City, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio news magazine produced by, about, and for our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
What happens when queer workers expect their employers to keep their Pride Month promises? In the conclusion of his two-part feature, This Way Out's David Hunt reveals how all too often companies with pro-LGBTQ public profiles pack up the annual rainbow flags and pay out harsh reality to employees who are working while queer.
For many of us, coming out and staying out at work is a source of stress that makes it difficult to excel in our jobs. Can you really take pride in your work if you're discouraged from taking pride in yourself? I'm David Hunt. That's one of the questions I'll try to answer in the second part of my two-part feature on working while queer. Let's work it out. Last week, I interviewed Cora Martell, a professor of religious studies who lost her position at the University of Tennessee shortly after coming out as transgender.
I got an email that said, basically, thank you for your services. They're no longer required. We will not be renewing your contract. And then the thing that really pissed me off was a link to a suicide hotline. I got a positive teaching review. I had really, really good student reviews. At no point were any complaints or issues brought to me about the courses I was teaching. The only thing that changed was that I came out as trans.
This week, I talk with a biotech manager who was living in North Carolina when she came out as trans.
I'm Elena Kupak. I am a executive director at Gilead Sciences in Foster City, California. I've been in the biopharma field for close to 30 years, 23 years plus at Pfizer, and the last not quite six at Gilead Sciences.
Kupek came out as transgender in 2012, in what she calls the pre-Caitlyn Jenner era. Her employer, Pfizer, offered robust support for LGBTQ employees, although getting that support sometimes took a lot of effort.
I actually had to come out because I needed transition-related medical care, and the physical transition starts well before the public transition typically does. And so in my case, I want to access the healthcare benefits that Pfizer advertised as having offered and found out that, in fact, they weren't there for me. Human Rights Campaign has a corporate equality index, and Pfizer had a 100 score, and they had advertised that they now covered transition-related medical care, which gave me the courage to medically transition. But then when I went to access that care, turns out that was not nearly so easy or so simple, and that the benefits that they tested that they had, they didn't in fact have. It became quite a challenge to try and navigate, you know, helping the company set up their medical benefits while trying to access them at the same time.
Kupek was determined to turn promised benefits into reality, but it took months of frustrating effort.
The challenge is that insurance companies, you know, had told them that they had these benefits too, but then insurance companies, in that case UnitedHealthcare, denied all of my requests for the care that Pfizer was supposed to cover. So I was having to deal with prior authorizations and rejections and appeals, and I have a folder that's probably an inch thick of all the documentation and the appeals processes that I went through and things that were supposed to be covered that wound up not being covered. One of the procedures that I needed, I had to travel to a city halfway across the country to get the procedure. They told me it was covered, no problem. An hour before I'm going in for the procedure, they're like, well, actually, we're not sure if we're going to cover that or not. And it was just incredibly stressful and really unnecessary.
On top of navigating barriers thrown up by her employer-provided insurance, Kupek faced the prospect of coming out as trans to colleagues up and down the pharmaceutical company's org chart. She started the process with trepidation.
You know, I felt like I was walking off a cliff. The cliff could be 1 inch or it could be 1,000 feet. I just didn't know what was going to be on the other side of that. And so professionally speaking, I wasn't sure, would I be able to keep my job? I was in a leadership role managing a field sales team that covered the Southeast, not exactly the most progressive parts of the country, for sure. So I wasn't sure if they were going to let me stay in my current role, if I was going to have to relocate to a different location. It was just blind faith that if I stayed true to myself, that things would somehow wind up okay on the other side.
As it turns out, the coming out process went well, and Kupek felt accepted and supported by her supervisors and colleagues, at first.
Two levels above me was the most amazing female leader, Liz Barrett, and she's now the CEO of a cancer oncology company named Urogen. And she set the tone for all the leaders that I worked with and that worked for her. And she basically, I found this out later, said, you're going to support her and you're going to, you know, do the right thing. Because not only was my boss, white conservative male, his boss was a white conservative male too. But she set the tone for them.
If you heard part one of this feature last week, you'll recall that Cora Martell, a religious studies professor at the University of Tennessee, also got a lot of support from her boss and her colleagues when she came out as trans. But then things went sideways. If you're looking for a recurring theme, then here it comes, because things got complicated for Elena Kupek, too.
I had a really successful career at Pfizer. I had a number of different roles and had risen fairly quickly through the company. And then I thought after I transitioned, I'd be able to get my career back on track and move forward. And that just did not happen at all. And I interviewed for a number of roles for which I was more than qualified. And, you know, the feedback I kept getting was, you know, there was always a reason why I wasn't getting the roles. And I'm an optimist. I never wanted to think it had to do with my gender and the fact that I was transgender. You know, I try to take feedback and do better the next time. But there's always a question in the back of my mind, like, is this holding me back? And I think that in some ways, it was a double whammy. one, it was holding me back because it's harder for women in general to advance their careers. And I have so much more of appreciation for what women go through in their careers and how they're viewed. You know, my experiences, even with the manager that I was working for before and after I transitioned, I will always remember the conversation I had with him after my first year and sitting across from him and getting feedback. And I was probably his top performing manager before I transitioned. And after I transitioned, my performance was even better. The feedback I got from him was that I needed to be a little bit less confident in meetings or less vocal or something in meetings. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm contributing the same amount that I did before I transitioned and then after I transitioned. But now how he's seeing gender impacts, you know, how he sees my contributions in the meetings.
Another executive at Pfizer told Kupec she was passed over for a new position because they were concerned how the leadership team at a client company might react to her gender history.
And it was then that I knew that I had to do something different. I couldn't stay there, that my career was not going to have an ability to go anywhere else. And so in some ways, it was relieving / confirming, but also sad because I spent 23 years at that company. It was heartbreaking to me to have to think about leaving all that behind. But yet I knew at that point that I couldn't continue to beat my head against a wall if this was what I was running up against.
I'm tired of apologizing every time I care too much. I've been taught to keep my mouth shut, don't make a scene. I'm done with being nice and quiet, cause I know that will make good change. Yeah, I'm old enough to read through the lines.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm David Hunt, continuing my feature on Coming Out on the Job. Elena Kupec left Pfizer for Gilead Sciences, where she now serves as Executive Director of Portfolio Strategy and Analytics for the biotech firm. And she's working to counter the negative stereotypes conservatives have been relentlessly promoting about trans people. She's founder and president of the trans-led nonprofit GRACE, Gender Research Advisory Council and Education. It's clear from recent studies and from first-person accounts like the ones we've heard on this program that LGBTQ people face discrimination and other challenges coming out and staying out on the job. Don't take my word for it. Ask an expert.
My name is Dr. Jenna Brownfield. I'm a licensed psychologist in Minnesota, and I specialize in supporting LGBTQ folks with online therapy.
Dr. Brownfield brings personal as well as professional credentials to her work. She's bi/queer and acknowledges that she's struggled at times to find a therapist who specializes in LGBTQ mental health. I'd like to say she was surprised when I recited the recent statistics on workplace discrimination, but she wasn't. She says queer people often balance the likely risks and rewards before they come out at work, because there's a cost, no matter how you play it.
You know, as I talk with LGBTQ folks about their work life and what that is like, there is oftentimes a process of trying to feel out how welcoming the workplace is going to be, either through the hiring process or, you know, afterwards as they've been there and are settled in more to that career. But I think what's important to keep in mind is that a lot of the politics at work are about being well-liked by your supervisors, by your colleagues. And so for LGBTQ people, you're having to do this calculus in your mind of will disclosing, sharing my identity, will bringing attention to discrimination I'm facing jeopardize how well-liked I am at this workplace and possibly future promotions, raises, or job security for me.
The global consulting firm McKinsey & Company says about a quarter of LGBTQ workers are not broadly out at work. For those that are, coming out isn't a one-time event. McKinsey found that about half of LGBTQ workers face situations where they have to come out at least once a week, sometimes daily. Some walk a tightrope, choosing to be out to some colleagues, but not others. Or they hedge,
trying to dress, act, or sound a little more straight, a little less queer. And that's a shame.
All that is mental work you're doing internally that wears on you and takes away from you being able to focus on work itself. As well, it's just really hindering to you being able to build genuine relationships at work when you can't be your full self there.
How should you react when things go sour in the workplace? Should you start sending out resumes looking for the next, better, more supportive employer?
I like to think there's more than just find a better place, but it's an option I hope folks will feel empowered to consider and able to consider for themselves if their current workplace is not able to meet what they need. Other options I think are, going to HR if it seems HR is going to be supportive. Honestly, I think support from outside your workplace, whether that's with fellow LGBTQ people, whether that's just, any supportive people in your life or supportive organization or friends, it can be meaningful to get to talk through these things with people who aren't embedded in that same workplace and don't have that exact same perspective.
As disappointing as the workplace trends are, many communities, whether they're online, on campus, or around town, offer opportunities to meet and build connections with other LGBTQ people. Volunteering with queer and queer-friendly organizations can give you a sense of purpose and value, no matter how complicated your workplace environment gets. The workplace has always been, and unfortunately remains, a difficult space for many LGBTQ people. But with a strong support system of friends, family, and colleagues, you may just drive the change you want to see in your workplace. And that's work you can take pride in. Thanks to those who shared their stories and expertise for this two-part program, Dr. Jenna Brownfield in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Elena Kupek in Foster City, California, and Professor Cora Martell in Knoxville, Tennessee, where you can hear us on WOZO 103.9 FM. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Ava Davis and Joe Bainline and produced by Brian DeShazer with technical assistance by Daniel Huesius. David Hunt produced our two-part series, Working While Queer. You heard music by Electric Light Orchestra, Huey Lewis and the News, Hotham, and J.A.K. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Harry Richardson of Socorro, New Mexico, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media. Email us at info@thiswayout.org or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KZAX Bellingham, Washington, WZIP Akron, Ohio, 2SER Broadway, New South Wales, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.